Yes, indeed. We will open to hymn number 30. In case anybody needs you off the plate, we'll get out. Hymn number 30. And I'm so thankful that he keeps me singing. I love the new hymns we're able to sing because of Domini's piano accompaniment. It's just terrific. We had been singing the same hymns for like 5-6 years, boy. And finally we got a new round of hymns. We're going to sing the first, third, and fifth, folks. First, third, and fifth will stand for our final hymn. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebbs and flows. Jesus, 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 keeps me as I go, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the third, feasting on the riches of his grace, resting in the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the last, soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Hey, hey, please be seated, church. Oh, yes, indeed. Love that. Great old hymn of the faith right there. And Brother Scott Harriman at this time will come and bring the word today on the third of his series on the absolute impossibility of evolution. Come right ahead, brother.
I'm Mr. Scott Harriman, and I'm teaching my third installment of the Creation Evolution series, as I call it, on the impossibility of evolution, and if it's needed now more than ever, because a lot of high school kids and college people that are entirely convinced of naturalistic evolution, and we have one of two choices: either God created everything, or everything evolved through naturalistic processes. What a dim view of life to embrace the evolutionary way of thinking, and to say that everything came from nothing. So, if everything came from nothing, why should I validate your? You say you got a degree, and you say you got a bachelor's, you got a master's, you got a PhD. If you're just a blob of protoplasm, what makes you say what you have to say is anything more important than what I have to say? Disagree with you right there. Okay. Noah's flood. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, please. Okay. All right. Okay, Noah pleases God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Thus, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh hath come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So that eliminates any possibility of a local flood. I don't get this nonsense of a local flood. Mm-hmm. A local flood does not put seashells on top of mountaintops. Mm-hmm. Doesn't lay down a fossil record either. it would not necessitate the building of an ark. If it was merely a local flood, they would pick up and move to an area that wasn't a flood. All right. Also, let's flip over to Job. Job. Mm-hmm. Okay, Job chapter 38. This flood of Noah's also caused an ice age. But one of the oldest books in the Old Testament, along with Genesis, is the book of Job. Mm-hmm. The events of the book of Job occur shortly thereafter, after the Tower of Babel and the flood. It speaks more of ice than any book in the Bible. Okay, it says 38, verse 29. Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew, from whose womb come forth the ice and the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Now, that's a scientific statement right there. The surface is frozen. Do you know that if water froze at the bottom, life would not be possible? God designed ice so that in its solid form, it becomes actually less dense than its liquid form. And that property enables the sea life to be abundant because all their food is at the bottom. If it froze at the bottom, that would mess them up big time. All right. Noah's flood, the ice age, and the fossil record. Back in Noah's day, pre-flood conditions were very different than today. For instance, there was greater landmass since the oceans, as we know them today, weren't there. Because all that water, there was water on the surface. It was all one landmass, Pangaea, or Rodina, or whatever name they wish to give it. They're all connected. How do you think all the animals got together? All one landmass, okay? There was lakes, okay, but there weren't oceans to the depth that they are today. That's a result of the great deep breaking up. You know how God, you say, caused the mist to go forward? There was no rain? That was all because of subterranean high-pressure water buildup, okay? And at the time of the flood, God released that, exploded with the force of nuclear bombs, and all that water came up, and that's why we have our oceans today. Greater landmass, less ocean, much greater oxygen content, and greater air pressure, and enclosed enable plants, animals, insects, and man to grow to enormous sizes, which we see in the fossil record. Can't deny that. Insects, plants, mushrooms, ferns, mammals, reptiles, fish, much larger than what they are today. Many things which are revealed, which are inconsistent with the evolutionary presuppositions. Now, if we assume that evolution is true and this is how it is, like I said, there are a lot of things in the fossil record that the evolutionists cannot explain because they rely on uniformitalism, meaning everything is the way it is now is the way it is back then, the way it was back then, the way it is now. That's just simply untrue. Any thinking person that follows that conclusion is going to say, hey, wait a minute, that's just not right. Imagine a society filled with giants bent on violence and destruction with no military or police force to stop them. It was a terrible place. I mean, you wouldn't be wanting to be walking around downtown before the flood. Oh, you'd be squashed, or people might look at you and say, oh, he's dinner for tonight. You know, he don't know what could have gone on. Ancient man was anything but primitive. Okay, you think that back then, probably people walk around and carrying clubs or dressed in furs and whatnot. No. Language was more advanced back then. That's proven that it is even today. The only advantage we have today over there is we have a printing press. It says in Book of Daniel that knowledge, if man will go to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, the distribution of knowledge increases, but we're much less intelligent than back then. Batteries were actually utilized. Get that. Yeah. Crystal lenses for magnification of light. Open brain surgery back then. And how on earth did they move those huge pyramid stones some way in 2000? We can't even do that now with all our fancy equipment.
Right.
Not to mention the mathematical precision needed to put those stones precisely where they need to go. A lot of skill, a lot of intellect, strength. I can't imagine. Flying objects, little model planes, little that like look like airplanes. back then. And how'd they build them? I don't know. They had the mall of them. They must have had a bigger scale. So there might have been planes. Even the toilets were more advanced. Was pre-flood man intellectually and physically superior? The empirical evidence would suggest that. I find it rather interesting that the Smithsonian Museum would go to great lengths to secure the remains of supposed half-men ape creatures and overlook many of the giant skeletons that have been unearthed through all the decades. Oh, don't put those up. That's got to prove the Bible. People stop believing the Bible. We don't want that. We don't want a society of people believing in God's word. Oh, can't have that. They'll stop thinking for themselves. And unfortunately, despite all this advanced technology, God said, "It repenteth me that I have made man." God was sorry that he made man because man became so wicked. Society must have been horribly violent and perverse for God to have to destroy such a wonderful world and environment. Witchcraft and idolatry must have abounded as well. It must have been a real terrible place. It's getting a lot like these days now. Just look out at society. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said in Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah. So God called upon Noah to build an ark with precise dimensions. Gave him 120 years to do it. Now I want to make a point here. During the Bill Nye Ken Ham debate, which took place a while back, a couple years back, the structure of the ark was given considerable discussion. Bill Nye, the science guy, as he calls himself, was quoted as saying, "The best shipbuilders in the 19th century would be unable to build such a vessel as Noah's Ark." Ken Ham, in my opinion, did not give a satisfactory rebuttal. Where does he presume to think that the 19th century shipbuilders were better or superior to Ken Ham, Shem Ham and Japheth? Let me quote 2 Peter 3:4. "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. From this they were willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Things were different, folks. Mr. Nye is wrong. Pre-flood men were genetically superior. They got their directions from God. Hello? And they had 120 years to accomplish the task. So I see no discrepancy. Yeah, they did build better ships, Mr. Nye, than they did in the 19th century. Despite your he interprets the evidence based on uniformitism. He doesn't see men back then as being superior. Okay, well, okay. The best shipbuilders of the 19th century. Okay, try to go out and build the pyramids like they did back then. Boom, right there. There you go. Flood mechanics. The fountains of the deep erupted. The subterranean water sources that were God used to water the whole biosphere. Like you go to a supermarket, they spray the vegetables, keep them fresh. That's under a lot of pressure. That cracked. The earth's crust cracked and buckled and exploded upward with the force of many hydrogen bombs. Scary. You wouldn't want to be around there. Simultaneously, many volcanoes were going off, bellowing smoke and ash into the air. The canopy that circled the globe came down as well. The whole topography of the earth was violently disrupted. The violent hydraulics of the flood caused permanent changes in the earth's terrain and climate. There's much more water on the surface now, making our oceans. Two mountain ranges and canyons were uplifted and carved out as a result of the water, You actually can cut wood with water. There's enough water. If your water pressure is strong enough, it'll cut right through wood. So if there's enough water pressure and force, could it carve stone? You betcha. You betcha. Okay, look at the Grand Canyon. It's like, well, that took millions of years. No, a burst of high-powered water could cut right through that. The fossil record was laid down. A lot of times people say, they interpret the age of the rock by the fossils. They interpret the age of the fossils by the rock. That becomes circular reasoning. It's all nonsense. An ice age happened, which is probably the reason why polar ice caps and deserts that we have today. Pangaea, supercontinent, broke up and drifted apart. His name means the earth divided in Genesis. That's at the time the continent starts and does. So what that flood did, it caused the four seasons, it caused the mountain range, caused the continents to split apart, caused the ice age, basically messed everything up. Snowfall. There's enough water on this planet to cover it 2 miles deep if the whole surface was smooth. All because we have ridges and stuff that we have ocean basins. Everything was smooth, like I say, like a cue ball or a pool ball. We'd be 2 miles deep in water. The fossil record is quite interesting. Many, many dinosaur graveyards across the globe. Some of these dinos died with their necks snapped back. That's an indication of asphyxiation, meaning that's an animal dies as a result of lack of oxygen. You know, it's been suffocating. It will bend its neck back. So these creatures didn't lie down and die in that position. They were suffocated rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing but mud and water to breathe, and they died violently. Large fish giving birth right in the act of... large fish giving birth, and sometimes fish right in the act of eating other fish. How's that going to fossilize? Okay. Trees and whales going through many supposed geological columns. Okay, this is also duplicated at Mount St. Helens. Some trees were vertical. They were stuck in the lake vertical. They came off the mountain, boom! And they kind of just sat right in the lake, and they grew ferns and moss around them. Man-made objects in dinosaur columns. What are they doing there? Bells and whatnot, and tools, and... considerably larger human skulls and bones. Dinosaur and human footprints found together. Most unearthly, I feel, is mummified dinosaur remains. Not skeletal, mummified with the flesh still there. There's no way this stuff is millions of years old. In order for a fossil to form, it must be buried very quickly to protect it from air and parasites, or else the organism will rapidly decompose or be consumed by scavengers. There are billions and billions of fossils from the past. Why aren't fossils being formed now? If everything is as it was. But is it not? Because it wasn't. The world that then was perished being overflowed from water. Remember that? What that was. That's the implication of that. It's a refutation of human formalism. Things changed. Things aren't now as they were back then. Getting back to Noah. And God remembered Noah. Well, I hope so. Poor guy stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. He sent a dove off, which came back with a twig, and this was a sign to let the animals out. Now, trees grow fast. I don't know how vegetation grew that fast. Okay. One thing I would like to mention that bothers me, everything I see, every time I see an illustrated Bible, it depicts all the animals that are recently alive. And this implies that the only animals that ever existed are the ones that are alive now. Sorry, that's incorrect. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, all of creation groaneth and waiteth for the redemption. A great deal of decay, death, and extinctions have happened over the centuries. They never acknowledged creatures that went extinct. Some of the critters that got off the ark, I think, the woolly mammoth, the mastodon, giant elk. You could probably hang your laundry on his antlers. They were so wide, far apart. Saber-toothed cat. The glyphodon, I believe that's how you pronounce it. The giant armadillo. The dire wolf. Remember the dodo bird? And again, the reason all these guys came together is because it was all one landmass. They weren't continents as they are now. Okay, they could all come together. I doubt if the dinosaurs got aboard, if God knew there was going to be an ice age with a colder climate and thinning air. However, in the book of Job, it describes a creature called Behemoth, which sounds an awful lot like a dinosaur to me, so who knows. So they all got off the ark, and God put the fear of man in them. The reason he did that was for our protection, because there weren't many of us. There were 8 that got off the ark, and we had bills. And that was kind of neat, too, because they had that whole ark. Well, and once all the animals went their way, they kept, God told them to keep 7 of clean animals, for like sheep and goats and whatnot, and pigs, and I won't call a pig a clean animal, but, you know, the farm animals, right? And they could dismantle the ark and build a house. There's plenty of lumber and tents and whatnot. I imagine them building a house. What caused the ensuing ice age? Okay, this is interesting, the mechanics of the ice age. Volcanoes erupted, spewing out gas and ash into the atmosphere. The volcanoes were instrumental in breaking up the fountain of the deep. All that iron and nickel was liquidated, and it disrupted the waters of the great deep.
had a lot of violent volcanic eruptions. When the Earth's crust broke open, it released a lot of heat energy, which warmed up the Earth's oceans, which in turn caused a great deal of steam and evaporation to release into the air. Well, there was a problem. As the steam was released, it rose into the upper atmosphere. And the air was much colder because the canopy was no longer there. Okay? So the oceans warmed up and the air cooled down. Also, much of the ground was cold because the volcanic dust was blocking much of the sunlight. The ground was mostly one big mudslick because of the it wasn't absorbing enough sunlight to warm up. Okay, so the vapor would rise up to the top. It'd get cold, come back down as snow, which inadvertently, as you realize, in New England, the winter, snow becomes ice. And it snowed, and the ice got packed faster than a rate of the sunlight could melt it. And what's going to happen there? You're going to get a lot of ice, and it's just going to keep growing. This went on for a few centuries. I imagine it would be closer to the poles. So it's not any coincidence that most of the large animals are towards the equator right now. Africa and South America and whatnot, they kind of kept away from the poles there because of all the ice. At the time, this is around the time of Babel, and that they built the tower. And they said, God told them, go forth and multiply and fill the earth. They said, well, the man caught an attitude. It's like, we're going to stay here. We're going to build a tower. It's going to reach the heavens and everything. And this is an interesting point. God said, let us, plural, Jehovah's Witnesses, let us. Let's scatter them. They saw God scatter them out. And then right around the time this happened, then the continents started to be divided. But there were ice bridges, and this explains why certain groups of people were on this. Okay, they got ice, they go across the ice. The Mongolian people, you notice that Chinese and North American, and they're kind of genetically a little bit there because Alaska was once attached to the Asia. So there was a land bridge there, and the kind of people just dispersed, and they kind of got around the same groups, and they multiplied, and they had their tribes. The Bible speaks of tribes of people in certain areas adjusting microevolutionary. They genetically adjusted to that particular environment and stayed there for centuries. Africans, Asians, North Americans, South Americans. So that's why no one's evolved. Okay, we're all the result of slight genetic changes. And the catalyst for this was the dispersion at Babel. And that's a pretty interesting deal. Were there men that lived in caves? Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were kind of. There's people that live in slums now. That's caves are merely people that were slumming it 4,400 years ago. That's how it is. It was cold out there. So you're not going to be out there. The wind's howling. It's snowing out there. You're not going to be out there. You're going to find a cave. You're going to build a fire. Kill a few animals. Get some furs on you. That's how it is. Well, that's a story for another time, but nothing in this world today in nature needs an evolutionary explanation. Everything here that you see in the world today is perfectly explained by the chapters of Genesis and the Bible. Mm-hmm. We interpret the evidence based on our presupposition. It's almost like I believed and then I saw. So you can't get mad at the unbelievers because they're blind. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, verses 3 and 4, I believe that God of this world has blinded them. And you don't see it until you're saved. Wow, I was blind like that too. But I hope this message reaches out to people that have questions and it satisfies them. I remember when I was younger, these questions I had, there was no one there to answer them. So, I hope this is the beginning of a new ministry for me, and I would like to continue with this. And if anybody wants to get, they can check out the site. I have my other messages up there, and I'll be putting up my artwork soon. This is Brother Scott Ammon, over and out. Yeah.
I gotta get used to.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike. I gotta get used to talking again. Drinking. You got any water?
Water in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
All right, people. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. Thank you, Brother Scott. Once again. Teaching on creationism and the absolute folly of Darwinism. And I'd ask you all to stand and open up to hymn 26 for our time of invitation. I like what Brother Scott's mentioned about the Grand Canyon. And about the power of water to cut. I never thought about that. But that perfectly explains not only the flood of Genesis 6, but the forming of places like the Grand Canyon, which seemed to be cut with a knife through the earth, you know, with the valley below. And that completely explains. Imagine the speed of the water coming down from above. Just slice right in, the Lord directing that water. Amazing. Amazing. The Bible's got the answers for everything, folks. That's all you need to do is read it and believe it. Yes, indeed. Hymn 26, we will sing all five. All five. We'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Listen, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his word. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. So I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's paths I often tread. But the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Think about it, church. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord for that crystal sea above. I love that fifth stanza. It says, he will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Anybody got loved ones that gone on before you? Oh, yeah. Everybody's hand is up. It's so good to know that we'll be reunited forever. Never to say goodbye again. But the most glorious part of all is that we'll be with Jesus forever. Woo. Well, Father, how we thank you today for another good service, Lord. We thank you for Brother Harriman coming and bringing the word concerning the days of Noah and the fossil record, and how things are not the same as they were from the beginning. Great changes topographically took place upon earth during the flood of Noah. And Lord, we thank you that scientists themselves cannot explain it except they believe the Bible. Lord, we thank you that your word has preserved all truths. And Lord, you've made it so simple for mankind. All we have to do is believe the word of God. And Lord, apart from believing the word of God, there is no salvation. I just thank you so much, Lord, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for a great service. We ask your blessings upon us through the week. Keep us, use us for your honor and glory. Send some poor lost soul across our path that needs Jesus Christ. They're everywhere. And Lord, use us as your ambassadors, your representatives upon earth. And Lord Jesus, we pray, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Rapture us out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, people.